Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. We have some market commentary today, a very interesting day in the overall markets as CPI data came in hotter than expected. Pretty surprising. Since most people, specifically the mainstream financial media, were caught off guard there. But unfortunately, precious metals are somewhat being sold off the news, so it might have been kind of a buy the rumor, sell the news type of event. But we're going to continue to talk about not only precious metals, but the entire commodities complex. Welcoming back Michael Oliver from Momentum Structural Analysis. Mike, you were on the show. We had a big, long interview a couple weeks ago. So we're going to keep this as short as we can just to get your thoughts here. But given all the turmoil and volatility in the markets, you know, give us your general 30,000-foot view of what you're seeing here.
Well, I think that the issue you brought up there, that of the rising CPI and the government metrics of inflation, which are nonsense, but anyway, they're reflecting some of it. If you look at a chart of soybeans or copper or even crude oil, which is a laggard, by the way, in the complex in terms of relative performance, they're vertical. They all went vertical at the same time. You know, basically all started up late summer, early fall last year, and then took off. That's too much of a coincidence. It obviously has nothing or very little to do with the specifics of each market. It has to do with monetary policy, period, exclamation point. I think one thing that scares the gold bulls and keeps them nervous when they see these inflation numbers is that they think because of political pressure or economists' pressure on Powell, that he's going to have to taper off at some point. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to tell everybody what we think. I think that's the exact opposite of what's going to happen, because the one huge variable out there is the stock market. And if that stock market does what we think it's doing, which is topping, I don't think it's going to crash. I think it's going to go down in layers, a la 2000 to 2002, a la 2007, did not drop sharply till the end of 2008, for example. Most bear markets don't start with crashes and margin calls. So the fear that, oh my gosh, I'm going to sell my gold miners because stock market's going down, is misplaced. In fact, if the stock market tops, what's the Fed's pressure then going to be? To defend it. Because as Bernanke wrote a paper in 2003, he said one of the main implicit jobs of the Fed is to keep confidence high, and that one best tool is to keep the stock market up there. And so if the stock market suddenly becomes a negative factor for the Fed, so far it's not been. It's been positive, right, for the last at least 8-9 months. It's not been a nuisance. If it becomes a major nuisance, they're going to have to continue their monetary policies, regardless of the CPI numbers, because they can't let that stock market go down on higher rates. So my argument is, if that stock market's topping, as we argue it is, led by the tech sector, which led it on the way up, will lead it on the way down, then that is a positive for gold, because it will keep the foot on the pedal of the central banks, period. As far as within the commodity complex itself, in fact, I just ran a bunch of charts yesterday to keep myself up to date on it. Mm-hmm. Not looking at price now, looking at relative performance of a given commodity versus the Bloomberg Commodity Index. And you could somehow tell this looking at just price charts, but the grains have gone vertical. They've not just gone vertical lately, but their trend since 1990, so over 20 years of trend, has been upside anyway, with ledges of range-bound readings for a couple of years, but then they launched again. Crude oil and natural gas, the two major energy components within Bloomberg, are at best described as par performers, meaning when you look at the spread charts, you see erratic sideways behavior, especially for the last 10 years. Despite the recent surge in both markets, it still didn't change their relative performance. So they're not beating the Bloomberg. They're keeping up with it.
Sure.
The grains are way out front. Trying to think of other ones that are. Silver and gold are. Mm-hmm. Gold especially. Now, gold's had a dip recently, you know, in its net trend, and therefore it dropped in relative performance. But that doesn't change the major relative performance trend of gold. So when we look at the commodity complex, we've emphasized to our subscribers not so much being in a given commodity market, but being in stocks related there too. So in the grains, for example, we've suggested fertilizer companies, and they've gone vertical in a great percent term and large percentage term. In the oil and energy sector, we didn't suggest owning oil or natural gas. We suggested owning oil services, and oil and the gas exploration ETFs, which have gone, the last time I looked, we're up 80% from our buy level, whereas crude oil is only up about 50% from our buy level. So sometimes it's worth looking at peripheral or markets that are connected to a given commodity, not the commodity itself.
Yeah. Can I ask you about copper here? Copper has, well, the last week has made a new all-time high. Complete backwardation on the futures contract. But you did mention something earlier that, you know, I'm hoping we can expand on, because the move in the commodity is, on one side you have, well, there's a supply demand story here that's really driving things based on more, you know, people coming out of lockdown, wanting to spend more, build more. That's rising up the demand with little supply. But you're talking, on the other hand, and you mentioned it, there is monetary policy here that's also at play. Giving one or the other, can it be a combination of both that's just really being the ultimate driver of these big exponential moves?
Well, I would put the, quote, recovery from the virus as a far lesser factor than the monetary policy. Ray Dalio, who is not a gold bug, and who was head of Bridgewater Associates, big hedge fund, he said months ago that investors need to pay attention to worry. He said, worry more about the value of the underlying value of your money rather than the value of your investments, which that's become the issue. It's the degradation of the money unit. Of course, the dollar is more so than the euro right now in terms of degradation. But even the ECB the other day said they're going to go a little more like the Fed's done. So they're going to coattail the Fed. So this is a developed economy monetary inflation. It's not just US. And again, we argue that if that big asset category, the stock market, which so many people put money in, becomes a negative, scares people, causes negative psychology, which is one concern that Bernanke expressed in that 2003 paper, the Fed's not going to let off. And as far as the demand from the recovery, yeah, you know, you can make that case, but this is an explosive move.
Yeah.
You look at copper, soybeans, this isn't some, oh, we're getting better. This is off the page. And I don't see that. You know, a lot of economists don't either. They see a recovery, but, you know, not something off the page that we've never seen in the history of modern times. That's what these charts are expressing. So therefore, I think they're expressing the monetary issue, not so much the issue they'd like to think it is, which is the recovery of the economy.
Talk to us about the momentum here. I mean, your newsletter is just absolutely fascinating. It takes a different look at how to analyze markets, completely different than anything I've ever read, which is fascinating. But based on the momentum here, are we due for a pretty significant pullback in the commodity space without breaking that positive momentum?
Yes, we thought in March, we put out February and March, we put out some reports indicating that we could get some redundant price action, meaning overlap of price from one month to another, to another, another. In fact, if you go back to March and draw a little line across in many of the commodity markets, particularly crude oil, it's evident. It's even evident in the grains. There's 4 months in a row where you could have bought and sold soybeans at the same price. Now, it was making higher highs each month, but it would still come back down to the same level where you could have bought and sold it at the same price it was in March. When that kind of action occurs, that's a pause in price, but for momentum, it's a correction because your moving averages are rising sharply and you're measuring price in relation to these means. And therefore, the momentum, which was overbought really, is getting a pullback, what we call a benign pullback, meaning momentum's cooling off, price is just sitting there catching its breath, and the momentum pullback is not damaging anything in terms of when you look at the momentum chart, there's no like uptrends being broken or floors being broken or anything like that. So we could still get an event like that where suddenly in a month or two, you get a sharp pullback in all these markets. But I argue it's probably not going to be the kind of pullback that lasts more than 2-3 bad weeks and then you go numb for a couple months. The reason being, we had a thunderbolt explosion in these commodity charts. You're looking at monthlies on price now. You don't usually do that and then have a sharp pullback. Usually what you do then is you go numb. And I could see some more of that occurring now, especially like copper made an all-time new high. Why not take a breath, you know, pause up here, you know, wipe your brow And technically, I could see that being justified, but it's not negative to the longer term trend. In other words, if you see that kind of behavior occur, don't get fearful. It's just a pause, a congestion zone before we go higher. I would not expect further pause or congestion in gold and silver. They had their phase of that, 9 months of pullback in gold and layered pullback, and 9 months of effectively what was sideways in silver. And I think they're ready to resume leading again the Bloomberg Commodity Index, which was very much lagged to the bull market we've seen in gold, you know, which has been going on for a couple of years. Bloomberg only broke out starting by our metrics late last fall.
What about, so we get a pullback today. Look at gold and silver, precious metals. We're getting a little bit of a sell-off today, but after a nice move up, so you can say we're probably due for a little bit of a pause given the last couple of weeks. Is this one of those, in your mind, one of those rare opportunities to start accumulating on a dip because they may not happen?
Well, actually, our numbers that indicated that the intermediate trend, which was negative since the August high, mm-hmm. intermediate meaning something that lasts numbers of months, you know, handful of months or so. Actually, it lasted longer than that, of course. For silver, it was sideways. Gold, it was a layered decline. We think that's over. We think you saw the low in March. In fact, 2 weeks off that low, which was 1673 on gold, we said that was the low. Okay. And now the issue, in our view, is not whether you need to congest anymore, it's what phases are left between here and launch time again. Mm-hmm. And we suspect that gold is overdue for a launch. Now, by launch, I mean something like what happened to silver July and August of 2020, when silver went up 50% in three trading weeks. Gold has not done that since its bear lows. It's gone up steadily, but arm wrestling style. I suspect there's a point at which gold is going to reach a price level that's going to turn on the price guys again. And I think I know where that is. And they're just going to suddenly go grabby for the gold market. And the sellers are sold out, so it could launch. You could get a $500 move in gold in a month or something. I suspect that level, if you look at a price chart now, and I think looking at price charts at this point is somewhat helpful. Quite often it's confusing, but I think now it's helpful. Because momentum says I'm ready to go back up. What we're looking for is a price clue. The case of silver, its high weekly closes since August have been in the mid $27 area. In fact, there were two peaks, one in February and one last August. Last week actually closed the week out above the February close, leaving only one weekly close that silver hadn't overcome. And that was the August peak weekly close. Looking at weekly closes now, not monthly. Mm-hmm. So somewhere around 28 bucks on silver, I think, and I'm talking spot month, that's May. May reached effectively a de facto high this week of 27.99. Meaning, I think the price chartists were trying to stop it in front of the round number, okay? In the case of gold, they're trying to stop it again in front of 1850. Mm-hmm. You've had two surges to 1840s that keep selling. I'm going to risk 1850, see if I can make some money. I think the big number to get to is 1950. And the reason I say that is if you look at a price chart, there's two major rallies that occurred after the August high. They both peaked at 1960 or on a 50-point scale. They peaked at 1950, dropped, came back up in January, 1950, and then dropped below 1700. If you touch 1950 again on a $50 point and figure chart, even the price guys are going to sit up and say, whoa, we're at a triple top, pending triple top breakout. So I think 1950 might be a level at which if you see that again, don't be shocked if when you go through there, you get something of a quantum leap type event.
Mike, let's leave it at that. I think that's a lot of great information there. Okay. I promised you I was going to keep it at 15 minutes.
That's fine.
Because we could go a whole nother hour. I love talking to you and getting your insights. Your newsletter is just absolutely fantastic. For people who are interested, Momentum Structural Analysis by Mike Oliver and his team. Completely different look out of what you get from a lot of other newsletters, and they cover a lot of different industries, anywhere from precious metals to commodities, obviously, in the general markets. I've also seen some reports out from Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Mike, thank you so much for your time. How can people follow you, maybe online or shoot you an email with any further up questions?
Well, we have a go to our website, which is olivermsa.com, MSA for Momentum Structural Analysis, so olivermsa.com, and send us an email and request some sample reports and peruse, go through the site. We explain basically our methodology, which is different. And you know, you'll get a lot of information on the site, but then also you can request some samples if you like and be happy to send them.
Yeah, it's a great offer, everybody. I highly recommend it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with another episode here later today with some more market commentary and corporate updates.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you, Mike. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decision.